Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Picture me rolling like and a dang thing to it. Take a Hootie Buick, add a Spoke Dayton's to it. Suit my lady playing Beverly and Maze music. Mary Wells, the Shirelles with the bass booming. Out the 12s, oh well, if you the neighbor snoozing. My wheel well scraping when I switch the lanes cruising. Sunday afternoon, catch me on your avenue. But I'm stuck on this damn bus, man, if I had a Lola. Amazing, that's a matter of fact. I mean, my lady and my Lolo when she dropping that back. Whether I'm waxing on the hood of that or waxing that ass. Got a full tank of gas and she gassing my raps. Gotta relax. She lay flat, I hopping it fast. If she know to hop on top, if she not on that rag, I might drop the rag top. If the cop lights flash, toss the stash, cause you know I got the knots in that dash. My chain swang left and right like the mirror dice do. Baby, wipe the air nights, leather getting white too. I'ma roll it down with my arm around a hyena who been down for a nigga. She been riding since high school. It's like paradise every time I ride through. But I'm on this rusty ass bike, man, if I had a Lolo.
Yes, yes, that is Choosy and Exile featuring Aloe Black, track called Lolo. I just love that beat. I love Exile as a producer. He's worked with Blue, he worked with fucking Aloe Black, he worked with a bunch of people. I love that producer from the West Coast.
That was Larry June, man. I didn't know who the fuck that was.
Sorry, Akit.
We have a guest. That was the lovely Odious.
I just downed my whole pint to the song.
That is the rankest burp ever performed in the Arms House. Akit is going to shut us down. She's going to cancel it on that. Akit is going to go fucking skits when she hears that.
When was the last time we had Talal on the pod, man? It's been a while. Our producer.
Probably like in the first 10 episodes. Or
no, since the roller episode. You filmed that roller derby.
And I was in the last Graf Jam one. I think, wasn't I?
You must have been on before that, no? Weren't you not on the Christmas ting?
He was on the BBC one as well. Away. When we did the after the BBC thing happened. Anyway, big up Talal, Talal, Talal in the place.
Christmas,
how you been, bro?
I couldn't do the Arms Tavern to Talal, your mum's tavern Talal, at Talal. Christmas because I had a bloody UTI.
Oh, shit.
What's and that? It was the one of those things up your penis?
No. I had a bladder infection. I had an infected
bladder. Yeah, you got to have the straw
bladder
up the penis.
Nah.
No?
It felt like I had a barbed wire up my penis, though.
I got to turn it on mute.
Where have you been sticking your dick, Talal, man? Where have you been putting it, man?
I don't know, man, how it happened. It could be all sorts of filthy reasons it happened, man. Oh, I don't know any one of them.
Like when you're going for a pee-pee, like when it back home in the bush. Mate, if you pee underwater, they can fucking float up there. They swim up there.
And like my bladder, the actual balloon was infected on the inside. So it would fill with liquid. And like, you know, all the skin on the inside was infected. So like whenever I jostled, or if I was sitting for a while and I got up, you can imagine the piss kind of like hitting the walls, the dry walls, and that pain.
And that
I
would pain.
I can't tell you. It was like I was on the floor screaming. I was
Arms
in
house,
pure agony.
Okay, I'm cutting this bit out, man. This is disgusting.
Damn,
so what?
Son.
Cannes last week, man. Was a lot of fun, man. Thanks for the feedback on the episode. I think I did all right editing that. Just people saying you should go on more trips. You should do more, like, you know, road trips and blah, blah, blah. And of course, we would love to. It depends on, obviously, on work and time and money. So join the Patreon /Arms House Pod. The links are below. Every little bit helps.
Oh, well, I have to agree with the viewers, man. That is one of the best almshouse episodes by a long, like, definitely. But in terms of just YouTube content, it's one of the best things. Like, it's top tier quality production and
yeah, production's on point.
And the editing.
But content, there's not much.
I was being a bit self-indulgent. I could have cut it down to an hour, not an hour and 20, to be honest.
You left so many bits out. Some bits
I didn't want to show as well. And
mate, you look at the shit that's on YouTube, you know? Like, slow TV's fine. Like, just to, like, follow people around being boring is fine. But yours was funny and fun. And you're blessed by, whenever you're shooting in bright sunlight, isn't it just a blessing, isn't it? The video quality is just instantly better,
Yeah, definitely on the GoPro for sure, man.
The bit for me is when I say to the Aussie bird, where from back home are you from? And she's without a hesitation, Brisbane. She's like, Brisbane? And I was like, yeah, I'll get back home discount. But
but Theme, you know what we missed out on? Or maybe, because we left on the Saturday and obviously there was still another week of Cannes Film Festival that we, you know, we weren't there for. But it was the 30-year anniversary of that movie, La Haine. Man, one of my favorite all-time movies. And Matthew Kasowitz was there. And they did like a panel, which I watched on YouTube, a bit of it, but it's all in French, so I didn't really understand any of it. But they have a new stage production on the 30 years, starting this year. They're touring Switzerland and France and Belgium, like all the French-speaking countries, because it's in French. And it's a stage production musical of the movie La Haine.
Musical!
Yeah, no, but like rapping, you know, it's mainly hip hop. You know what
I mean? Fuck the police, fuck the police. Everybody, fuck the police.
Nick Dame.
Your mum sucks off Smurfs. Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
It's not show tunes, it's like hip hop. And I've seen the trailer for it. Maybe I'll put the trailer for it here. I mean, I think it looks pretty cool, but I mean, the trailer is going to make it look cool. And then they have these three actors who are playing the parts of Hubert and Saeed and Vince, and they were there at the Cannes. And it was like 30 years ago, La Haine, the original La Haine, went to Cannes Film Festival. So all this footage of, you know, Saeed and Matthew and who were the other actors?
Vincent Cassel
and Hubert.
I forgot the name, man.
But yeah, so there's mad footage of them from 95 when they were walking the red carpet. And then I saw an interview with Vincent Cassel saying even back then he felt wrong because he goes, this movie's about kids getting shot by the police and we're in Cannes sipping champagne with all these elites and stuff like that. He said even at the time he felt a bit weird. But Theme, I had this idea. I don't know if you're down for the Patreon, to encourage people to the Patreon. We sit, I'll come over to your house, Theme, we'll set up the microphone and we'll watch La Haine and do like a voiceover track over the film. So people, our patrons, can play it while they watch the movie and they
film commentary track.
Like a film commentary track type thing, man. Because I know loads of little because I've watched that film so many fucking times. I've seen so many documentaries on it, interviews with all the actors, and like I know loads of little inside bits and bits that get us excited. And maybe younger people here who haven't seen the movie, this would encourage them to go see it, man. You know? So we'll think about that.
That's a really good idea, Maddie.
Yeah, Maddie.
I come up with it all by myself.
Yeah, you came up with that on your own, did you?
Yeah.
Great idea, man.
Yeah.
Theme, what do you think of that? Would you do it?
Yeah, it just sounds like Maddie pausing the film and chatting for about 10 minutes.
No, you're not allowed to pause it.
Little insight thing.
You're not allowed to pause it. We're talking over the film while we're watching
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just bits we think look cool and stuff. I mean, whatever. We'll see if we get it done.
I've got it on DVD here.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, when was the last time you watched it, team?
I'm definitely not going to the musical of it. Some things have got to be kept magical, man, without over bugging it.
Well, it's not playing.
The reason
in
that
England.
Film is the nuts, man. It's the nuts because it's the mm-hmm. nuts. That's it. You don't need to outdo the nuts.
Yeah, but then
calm down.
It's a way of introducing people. That, at least they're not remaking the film. They're doing it into a stage production. So it's a different artistic impersonation of it. Impersonation? Interpretation?
I've always wondered, what would that film be like if Robert De Niro was in it?
Dog shit.
Hey, regarde la vache. You see, la vache, you see. okay.
For the people listening, Maddie just pulled off like one of the greatest Bobby De Niro impressions of all time with the face, but it's a very visual face.
It's like his old, not young De Niro, and older De Niro.
No, it's good though. It's fucking good. When we were in the queue, I was laughing a lot when you did that.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Oh, yeah. Well, talking about film and talking about cinemas, I took my niece to the cinema, our local View Cinema, the other day. Yeah, just impromptu. We were there. I picked her up after school. We went down there to get something to eat, and I was like, "Oh, let's see what movies are playing." And what was it called? Lilo and Stitch or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, that's yeah, new Disney thing. Live action remake, Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, whatever it is. And I said, "Oh, you want to go watch it?" I was like, "Yeah, can we go?" And so she was like, "Yeah, all right." So we went in. I bought the tickets, 27 quid for both of us, yeah? Ugh. And already I'm like, for fuck's sakes, and Fiverr for a small popcorn and all that shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck's sakes. Anyway, we go in now. Oh, yeah, that's it. Because the film said on the thing, it starts at 4. It was 10 minutes past 4 when I bought the ticket. I said, have we missed any of the film? He's like, nah, it's still the trailers, blah, blah, blah. So I bought the tickets, went in, and the movie had already started. We'd Come missed on, the first man. 5 minutes. Anyway, we sit down, we're watching it, and I'm like, this screen is mad blurry, man. What the fuck is up with this screen? Yeah? And I'm like, oh, it's a fucking 3D fucking movie, yeah? Oh. So I go back out, and I'm like, yo, give me some 3D glasses. You didn't tell me it was 3D. And he was like, oh, yeah, it's 7 quid for the glasses.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And I'm like,
that's
now
when I
going,
flipped
bro.
The desk. Yeah.
Bro, I didn't kick off, obviously, some dweeby little teenager behind the thing. And I'm like, bro. Just give me the glasses, man. You didn't tell me it was 3D when you charged me for the tickets. You fucked up. Just give me a pair of glasses, man. I'll give them back to you afterwards. He's like, oh, no, but they're all in packs and you got to open it and we can't give them to you. I'm like, bro, get me the manager. Go get the manager. He gets the manager. And I explain to her what happened. And I'm missing the movie still, yeah? I left Lulu inside.
Oh, poor you.
And so, no, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, you know, I'm missing the movie
you.
Now
I hate you.
Because of this fuck up. You know what I mean? Now you're trying to get 7 quid out of me now for some fucking glasses I'm only going to use for another hour and throw away. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Just give me the glass. She's like, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I can't. I go, I know you can, but you just don't want to. You know what I mean? I go, what's going to happen if you give me 2 pairs of glasses now? Like, and then I went off on a tirade. I go, cinema's going downhill. Streaming with COVID, I go. You guys should be encouraging people to go to the cinema, not forcing them to give you more fucking money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't swear at her. I was being nice. You know what I mean?
Giving her a bollocking about like the conditions of the film industry.
I was like, yeah, you should be fucking encouraging people, not robbing people. You know what I mean? This has really ruined cinema experience for me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you should be fucking begging us to come in here. You know what I mean? You should be like giving cheap tickets, man. Free glasses, free popcorn. You know what I mean? Getting people in the fucking cinema, man.
And I bet she was Butters as well. The manager of the cinema is always some greasy Butters person coming over. Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. We can't do that, sir. What are you talking about? Mate, fucking like, rank.
I was just
and the
like,
manager I'll... is like 20. You know what I mean?
And then, I said to her.
If you slapped him out there, it'd be an explosion of pus coming off his face. You can't even go
and I said to her, bun
this movie. Pass me the glasses, rude boy.
Listen, I said, I want a refund. I go, we're going to leave. I just want a refund. Like that.
Yeah. I know, we can't do that, sir, because, you know, we've already started watching the film.
She said, okay. Then I go back in the cinema. I sit down and I go, Lulu, shall we go? Because they're trying to give us glasses for this. And she was like, no, I want to stay. Yeah.
I want the glasses. Like,
So I bop out, not to the manager, to the original kid. And I go, just give me the glass. I was like, how do I pay for these fucking glasses? He was like, oh, you got to download the app and you got to pay through. I was
like, okay, I'll
download the app. And I just go, give me the glasses. I'll download that. He gave me the glasses. I just popped back in. Yeah, I was just like, fuck the app. Fuck it. I didn't pay for nothing. Went back in, put the glasses on Lulu and myself. We watched for another 5 minutes. And then Lulu bends towards me and goes, I don't like it. I want to go fuck this film. Yeah. And I was like, for fuck's sake. I was like, all right, come on, Lou, let's go. And then so we pop outside and I go, I can still get my refund. So I go up to him. I want my refund. And they gave me the refund and then we left. Good. But I was just like, for fuck's sakes, like cinema's going downhill, man. You should be encouraging people in, not charging people extortionate prices.
They're panicking. They're rattled because you're exactly right, man. The industry, the cinema industry is really struggling. And so they're like any fucking corporation, how do we save ourselves? Oh, we got to charge more. It's like, well, okay. And like, or you could think about it differently. And if you make it more appealing, maybe your business will be booming. But nah, man. And that's the new one. That's not even a View. It used to be View. You're talking about Park Royal.
Yeah, it is
View. Yeah, it's now an Odeon Lux now. It's not View anymore.
Bun. No,
I'm pretty sure it's a View,
cinema.
But anyway, nah. I don't know. I could be wrong.
It's because you've got no utes, bruv. The prices have been high in the cinema forever. And you're meant to go to like a corner shop and buy your munch in there.
Yeah.
Maltesers, M&M, get juices. Yeah. And you go to that Ealing cinema. It's got like 4 screens. It's next to the mall. It's tiny.
The one in the basement.
Yeah, it's much cheaper. And it's always got the movies.
That's an independent cinema, that one.
Yeah.
It's not like a huge corporate.
But still, I don't buy any shit in there. We always take... Imagine having twins, bruv. Imagine how I feel you're paid. Like, how many times that sort of shit has happened to me, bruv?
Yo.
Well, honestly, like, and even like Cineworld, you know, I'm not fucking sponsored by him, but it's a bit of an extra drive from Ealing, but Cineworld is instantly much cheaper experience and just much more down to earth.
Oh, I just remember the last time I kicked off about this, yeah? I went to go and take the U to some like scaling through the trees thing, like flapping on trapezes and fucking about, yeah? And there's 3 bits. Yeah. You got to do this bit, A, bit B, bit C. Yeah, bit C is just slides, like these ridiculously steep, fucking long slides. They were banging. But you had to walk up them. And I said, lads, I reckon you should do the hardest part first. Do the middle bit, which is like the trapezing for fucking all the way back. Because the first part, you're like working through all this jungle shit, yeah? On tight ropes, up in the trees. It takes for fucking ever. You've always got a couple of like 45-year-old mums on it. Go, oh, fucking hell, shit, I didn't know it was going to be this fucking bad. Like, you can't go past anyone because you're hooked onto ropes so that your thing would clash with their thing. You've got to wait for these fat fucks to do the thing, yeah? You get all the way down. You have to pay for all of them. All 3 is like the day you have to pay. Yeah.
Like
then you have to go to the training of each one, which is like videos and safety helmet and rare. You're like, yeah, fucking hell. And then we say, okay, we'll do this one first. We'll do the slides last. And we'll do the one they really want to do, which looks like the most fun. This like zooming in the air thing all the way back.
Zip line.
We'll do that second. Yeah. So Bosch off the first thing first. SAS. You know what I mean? They're like, yes, Dad, let's go. Bosch. Should we Bosch? Stuck all behind these mums and that. The utes are actually finding it quite difficult. It was like a difficult thing, but I said, you're going to do it. So get back down, finish. It took like 2 hours and 30 minutes to do this course, yeah? And we go, and it wasn't us. It was like, that's the pace of the thing, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Go down, and I'm like, right, boys. And they're like, yeah, we want to go on the trapeze thing. So go over to the trapeze thing. The bloke goes, oh, it's 3 o'clock. And like, yeah, set me the harness, set me the thing, set me the. And he's like, yeah, the last people on this ride go on at like 2:30. And I just fucking went fucking nuts, bro. And again, he's a youth. He's like, you know,
you go
a youth
to me, basically,
he's like
bruv.
25. He's like 24, 25. You know what I mean? I'm like, bruv, you can't sell me a ticket, not tell me to get here at 5:30 in the morning if I want to complete all the shit.
Informed, man, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm rocking up at 11, 12 after having... We come here and you're telling me now I can't go on. We haven't even got to the 3rd point yet, bitch. Give me the fucking harness. He's like, oh, well, yeah, we might be able to open it just for you. I was like, for me? What are you talking about? There's still people on it, the fucking cunts who haven't finished it in the first place.
Yeah.
Cunts. You know what I mean? Bastards, it's always like that.
Yeah. And they think they're going to get away with it because it's for the kids and they know the adults are only there for the kids. They're not going to complain about stuff or whatever. But it's like, come on, man.
Nah, man. And people are scared to complain. People don't like to complain. People don't like confrontation. And like people like us who are not afraid of speaking our mind, mm-hmm. are not, we're the minority, you know? And so they will like,
Shabakolo, what are you talking about, bro?
They'll treat, you know, they'll like, yeah, most people won't complain, so we just fucking take the piss out of them. But if you are ever, and this is a public service announcement to all listeners of the Arms House, who I'm sure are pretty on board and anyway, pretty ragamuffins already. But like, if you're paying for a service and you're not getting the service you paid for, you fucking, don't be rude, be nice. And like,
don't be already, a Karen. Don't
if
be
we've
a
seen
Karen.
Twice already, people working there are just trying to fucking do their job. They're young, spotty teenagers doing a weekend job or something. Like, it's not their fault. You have to remember that. It's not their fault, but you ask for the... You carrying it up a bit and say, can I get the manager, please? Or you like speak to them diplomatically, like, I paid for a service. Give me that or give me my money back, you know?
Listen, guys, I sent you a video, an Instagram video on your WhatsApp. Please, gentlemen, spend a minute now watching it and then let's talk about
it. I watch it. I'll go get a beer because I downed my beer at the beginning.
Just
while I was...
watch it now. Yeah, yeah.
3, 2, 1, watch.
I'm going to turn the volume down and everything like a pro.
Just describe what you're seeing. You can put the volume up a little bit if it helps.
Someone having a wank in the train. They're at the yard. I've seen this.
You saw it, yeah? It was doing the rounds.
It's Italy, no?
I think it's Germany, because you hear them chatting... They alter their voices, but you can hear them all giggling. So it's a bunch of dudes in the yard just like fucking, just painting the side of this train. I think it's Robins and Royals, TFK, TSP in Naples. Yeah, so yeah, okay, in Italy. And they're filming while they're painting the train. A couple of trains along, they film through the windows and there's just the silhouette of some guy just shuffling his knuckles.
What's that mean?
It must be the driver, no?
Well, it most likely going to be someone, who works there or something. You can only see a silhouette of a dude just so hammering tongs. And some of the comments
they can't
I thought
say
were
anything
funny.
To him, can they?
And they're just painting away. They don't even stop painting because that guy's
not like if they were in the street. They'd be like, yo.
It could be like the flat behind the train and it's just unfortunately lined up with someone's flat window. Or it's a.
No, he's in the train carriage, though. He's in one of the trains.
Yeah, but there's a window, and then behind that,
The top comment is, ¿Alguno necesita blanco? Does anyone need white?
Does anyone need a white? And then the other guy was like, oh, no, he's just shaking the can. He's just shaking the can. Mate, I was cracking up. Like,
or is that like an out-of-use train in the yard, and that's like a homeless guy living in it?
It could be some
that's
homeless
so
dude. It's just literally, a silhouette we could see through the thing.
One of the cleaners.
I thought we'd have a laugh at that. He's definitely standing in the train, Tala. There is.
So have either of you ever had a wank while out on a mission? Is that the question you were going to ask?
No.
That's my question. I was just going to say.
Haven't had a beat whilst on tracks.
Nah, me neither, man. I mean, I did a really good piece once and I got a little half chub. But I didn't decide to beat it. You know what I mean? I waited till I got home, you know?
Have either of you ever hooked up? Out on the tracks.
I used to go, not on the tracks, but when...
What are you talking
I was
about?
Mad,
like you
younger,
take a girl, like you're like, oh, I got somewhere
listen,
I want to take you. And you
I'm going
to
tell a story.
All right, sorry. I was answering.
When I was younger, about 17 years old, I had a good friend of mine. She was banging to all the graph and stuff. She wasn't a girlfriend or anything like that necessarily, but she was banging to it. She was a good mate. And I'd go street bombing with her. And we'd go out because, like, you're less likely to get stopped if it's a dude and a girl walking down the street. Because back then in the late 90s, everyone was getting stopped left, right, and center. If there's more than three dudes with hoodies and caps on, you're getting stopped, like, one way or another. The stop and search thing was very prevalent back then. And they didn't even have to have a fucking reason. They'd just be like, oh, you fit the description, boom, boom, boom. And then they'd search you. But if you had a girl with you, you were cool, man. And I remember I was doing a quick faded in dub on this one brick wall, and then we just saw blue lights and fucking I don't know what coming around the corner, and literally I gripped her up and then like we started lips in like up against
and that
the wall,
was the black like natural
and then they just passed through. I don't know what they were looking for. So there you go, there's one instance.
And then you were like, tag my name on your ass with jizz. What's that? That's a necro lyric.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh my god! And then was it awkward after that? You've seen that in movies loads of times. You're like, act like we're kissing.
It was exactly like that. And she's like, down. No, that's like she was down for the whole thing. You know what I mean? She knew what the program was.
And you were 17.
She understood the assignment.
So yeah, you must have got a major chub on.
No, that was just. It wasn't like that. She was my mate, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, you asked about making out while on a mission. So there you go. There's one.
Fun one.
Tell her, let's get in.
I shacked up with a girl once on, I was in Sydney in a hostel, yeah? Mm. And out the back of the hostel, there's this fire escape. So you can go out onto the fire escapes and we would smoke and drink on the fire escapes. But out behind this hostel, they were doing this construction site. I think they were building like a shopping center or something. And they were still early stages, so they're still doing the foundations. So we were up on like the fourth floor, and then you go down to the ground, and then they were a massive pit. They dug out all the ground for like another four stories down. And we were up on the railings of this fire escape. Getting, and I, like, if one wrong move, I would have dropped her and she would have fallen down to her death.
Oh, shit.
Okay. It's the most dangerous.
So you were like on scaffolding basically, but like going.
We're on a fire escape railing, but like if you look down, it's like four stories and then like another four or five stories down into the ground. And she was up on the railing and I was, you know, doing the business. Doing the business. I was 18 and very excited to be there and happy to
fumbling
be
about.
Yeah, fumbling.
You know,
around.
I did.
But one wrong move, man. We were drunk as fuck as well. One wrong move, that would have been like manslaughter straight up.
Your mum told me that you had to like busk in the airport to get money when you landed in Australia.
I busked, in the train station. I landed in Sydney and I went to the cash machine and my card got rejected. Straight away, I'd spent all of my budget for 6 months travel, 4 months travel. I'd spent it all in a week and a half in San Francisco, mostly on sushi. And so the next morning, 5 a.m., I was getting picked up in a pickup truck to go. I had a contact. I made a call. And the next morning, I was on a building site, basically digging holes. Earning my way. I had to ask for an advance at the end of my first day's work because I literally had fuck all. Yeah. I had an emergency $50 in my secret pocket, like under my clothes, but that's all I had. Anything else, I just had to start working. So yeah, I went out busking. I was working on a building site with Tongans. Do you know what a Tongan is?
Yeah.
It's like a Samoan, and these guys are
big
built.
Big fucking guy, mate.
Built. Yeah. And they were like scary to me, like they weren't
rugby,
very welcoming at first.
Player built.
Yeah, you had to like win them over, and
they were like, "Who's this fucking pommy?"
Yeah, straight up, like, "Who's this fucking weird little pommy kid?" And all these guys were built like brick shit houses. There was like eight of them, and then there was one of them was this elderly skinny man who would just stand there smoking, and everyone would like say, "You right, sir? How are you?" They'd all give him their respect because he's the elder.
The elder, mate.
I'd never been on a building site in my life. No, Madness. I was terrified. Yeah. And I was like a little nerdy fucking pussy, basically. And then one day, like, they all started. One day we were having lunch. I think it was like the second day. They didn't fucking like me. And they all like surrounded me while I was sitting there eating a sandwich. And they're like, "You right? Like, when was the last?" I think I said something stupid. And then they all surrounded me. And it's like, one of them was like, "When was the last time you've been knocked out, mate?" Huh?
Really?
And I sat up and I started like sweating like this. And I went, "The last time I saw my mom." And then they all went, "Hey, you're all right, kid. You're all right. Come here." Like, that's like, I had to like cuss myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I won them from then on. I was like one of the boys.
And then
basically.
Wait to see if it's won them over or not. And then, let's.
There was like 5 seconds of them just stone face, and then he just broke a smile. And so I was working on a building site, and then after like a month in Sydney, I had to work the whole time. This was meant to be my fucking gap year travels, you know, and I just worked every fucking day. And like, I had this bus ticket planned all the way up the East Coast, and it was hop on and off. So I was meant to just take my time going up the East Coast, hopping on and off, enjoying myself, maybe get a few shifts in a bar. But I had to basically go straight from Sydney. I got a job past Brisbane, off the coast of Rockhampton on an island called Great Keppel Island. And I basically had to do a 26-hour bus ride in one go. I wasted that whole journey just going to my next job. And I arrived to this place, and I had to get a ferry to the island. And I show up at this hostel. I'm like, hi, I'm here to do a job. My name's Talal. And they looked up at me. And this guy, Ray, looks up at me. He goes, you're Talal? I said, yeah. He goes, right. And like, holding this like maid's uniform. And he goes, I think we'll put you in the kitchen then, mate. And he thought I was a Korean. I thought you were going to be a Korean girl. Because they just saw the name. They didn't like, there's so many Koreans who travel there to work that he just assumed.
Oh, they just saw a weird name and thought, oh, yeah, it's just
it's a Korean woman's name. Yeah. So he was literally holding the maid's uniform, or it was out on the desk ready for me. He's like, well, you won't be needing this. So I worked in a kitchen, and the chef was like furious all the fucking time, and like threatened to cut my head off and shit down my throat, and like,
I love that.
He threatened to kill me so many times, and he had a heart attack while I was there.
Fuck me.
Yeah, so we all got promotions. So like the cook became the chef and I became the cook. I was just washing dishes before that. I could keep going. There's mad stories about my time on Great Keppel Island, man.
Because I reckon we should do an Australia episode, man. Talal, you'd have to join us because you're the only one who's been there, because there's a big graph scene out there. But Talal, also in Australia, wasn't it Gasp VFL who helped you out as well? Wasn't he out there at the time? I remember trying to link this to graph. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I didn't know he did graph.
Yeah. Gasp VFL.
Oh, yeah. So he's the one I met when I came from the fucking airport to Sydney. Gasp VFL, I suppose. I knew him as.
Yeah.
Can I say his name or shall I not?
No,
say
don't.
His name? Well, I didn't know he was. I was fresh out of school. I wasn't in the scene at all, man.
Did you go on your own?
I was on my J's, yeah. And I got from the airport to like central Sydney where my hostel was. And that's what I did in the airport. I went to a payphone and called Gasp.
That was it.
Yeah. And I was weeping. I was so terrified. I was across the world and I was penniless. I was fucked. Yeah, yeah. And I had one night booked in the hospital.
But you knew that. You got on the plane knowing that.
No, I didn't. I didn't know how to check my account. I didn't know to check my account. I was just spending in San Francisco at a week and a half.
I didn't know how to check my account. Just thinking the money would replenish itself.
I just thought I'd saved up loads of money. Woohoo, let's go travel for 4 months. Yeah. And I was in San Francisco having the time of my life. And I was 18, but I was Arab. So I had a beard. I was getting into all the bars and the clubs. I was having my fucking dream life, man, running around San Francisco, 18 years old, hanging out with girls and like getting drunk and like
shagging them down in shagging them in pits, shagging them in pits.
That was in Sydney, shagging in the pits, and then that's the alternative to digging in the crates. And we went to the nightclub. This was when you could smoke indoors, and there were these camel girls. They were like, they worked for Camel cigarettes, and they walked around the nightclub with these trays full of every different type of Camel cigarette, and they're like, help yourself. Yeah. And you were just, imagine that. He was promoting, you were just grabbing them for free. I was like, I'll have one of each. And she's like, sure. And then, I was fucking eating sushi every day for lunch, like going to the expensive sushi restaurant, spending everything and without thinking. I still am terrible with money. Luckily, I have a responsible partner now who looks after me and like keeps me in check, but I've always been bad with money. It's a family trait of ours.
But what I'm trying to get is all those times, you got smashed in San Fran, then you get on the plane, which is a lengthy journey, you didn't clock when you went to buy water or anything, and your card didn't get declined till you got back home, and then you fucking declined.
Yeah. But you've got to understand, this was before smartphones, before Talal had a smartphone. So it's not like you could just go to your banking app and check it. And when you were spending money abroad back then, it took a couple days before it reached your bank account and shit. So you could be overspending into your overdraft before your bank even fucking warns you about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember that happening several times to me.
This is 2005. This is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And And Gasp was like, he's like, talk me down off the edge, mate. Talk me down the cliff. I don't know what the phrase is. Talk me down off the cliff. Yeah, he's like, Talal.
Yeah.
It's all right. Just breathe. Look, have you got enough to get on a train to Sydney? I'm like, yeah. He goes, all right, look, where are you staying? And I'm like, I'm staying at this hostel, the Maze Hostel, it was called, on Pitt Street. It was called Pitt Street.
Oh, shagging
that's
in
funny.
The pits.
And he said, okay, there's this bar nearby. Come meet me at this bar. I'll buy you a pint and we'll talk everything through. And I went to the bar and I was still like, had tears running down my cheeks. Like, sit down, I bought you a pint. Come on, sit down. Sit down, man. I'm like, all right, let's play a game of pool. And I'm like, you know, he's distracted me a bit and we played a game of pool and then he sat down, all right, tell me everything. And I'm like, he's oh, so cool much geezer, sushi, man. So much sushi. He says, and then he's like, look, you need to, he's like, what
forget
have you
the
got?
Sushi.
He said, what have you got? And I was like, I've got $50. He goes, all right, what else? I've got one night booked in a hostel. Okay, what else? And I was like, I met a guy in San Francisco. He just left Sydney. And he told me he was working on a building site in Sydney and he just left. And yeah, and like we swapped information. So he's like, all right. So he just left Sydney. That means there's a job going, right? It's like, oh yeah. Yeah, maybe. He goes, all right, let's do it. And we made some calls. Next thing you know, I'm talking to this foreman.
The lineman.
Yeah, yeah. The foreman of the fucking building site. And I go, you got jobs going. I met Steve in San Fran. He told me he was working for you. He goes, yeah, all right. Be at King's Cross Station at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's okay. All right. Yes, I'll do it. Thank you so much. And this guy, he was English. He was from Essex. He owned a fucking mansion on Manly Beach and a yacht and shit. And he ran this building company and he sold ganja. So I found a ganja hookup and a job at the same time.
Nice.
And he gave me an advance at the end of my first day. And he gave me part of my advance. He said, I was like,
want some weed?
Yeah, he gave me like 20% of my paycheck was ganja, basically.
Yeah, man.
Like he sorted me out. I was like, all right, I think this is actually
going to be
okay.
I landed on my feet, thanks to Uncle Gasp. Yeah, come on.
All right, okay, Talal. You have a song for us to listen to, and then we'll get into some graph critique and maybe a listener question if we have
time.
All right,
this song is Biddy Bomb.
Wait. Before you announce that, I want to give a big shout out to Ash, who does the playlist for us, man. Thank you, brother. We haven't thanked him in a little while, so just wanted to say big up for keeping that on.
Big up, Ash.
We have a link below to a Spotify music playlist and a YouTube music playlist of all the songs we've
That's
played
cool.
on the pod. So big up Ash for doing that and go
did
check out.
Did you even announce what the first track was at the beginning?
Yeah, I did. Choosy okay. and Exile Lolo.
Oh, yeah, with
the
Aloe Black.
Aloe
yeah,
Black.
Yeah,
mate.
Well, this song is called Biddy Bomb and it's by these cats I see on Instagram coming out with these wicked little song clips. They're called the Neighborhood Kids and they're like Latino Americans.
They're from San Diego.
They're okay. And yeah, they're pretty righteous, man. Like their politics is pretty pretty good, but they also know about the culture and they give off the energy of a brother sister duo, but it's a girl and a boy and they're both
they're a couple.
Are they okay? Yeah. And they're just really fast-lipped syllabic. You know, lots of syllable, multi-syllabic
rhyming. She black and he's Latina.
No, they're both Latino.
Well, they might be native. I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't heard of them.
I'm pretty sure they're South American. If you hear their accent, you'll probably pick up on it. But yeah, this track's sick, especially the second verse. Like the second verse went viral on Instagram and I used to see it all the time. Like, I love it. And talks a bit about Palestine, but then she goes on to talk about the four pillars of hip hop. And I thought it would be an interesting song
let's
to
get
play
into it.
So let's listen to it and get to the second verse and I want to hear your opinions.
The
Biddy
Neighborhood
Bomb by Neighborhood Kids.
Yeah.
One time. Woke up in the morning and I smelled the fresh pollution. Television never tried to show my execution.
Said, who's this? Just a kid from the neighborhood. I've been trying to start a revolution for the greater good.
It's the revolution coming, marching on your street. Always use your voice for the ones who cannot speak.
It's the ones who go to war from the belly of the beast. And I'm coming from the underground, you hear it in my speech.
Leave us speechless.
From the second that I speak this.
Please believe this.
Get the youth to
truth, they really need this.
Uniqueness, and they like to treat us like we three fits. The kids are always feel this from the second that the beat hits.
It's the good,
it's the bad,
it's the evil and the ugly,
it's the crooks,
it's the cash,
and the people with the money. Yeah,
every day ain't sunny when your nose is getting runny and the people start to laugh, but ain't a damn thing funny. Yeah, bitty bitty bum bum, bitty bitty bang. This the type of music that my people go and sign. Say bitty bitty bum bum, bitty bitty bang. This the type of music that my people go and sign. Say bitty bitty bum bum, bitty bitty bang. This the type of music that my people go and sign. Say bitty bitty bum bum, bitty bitty bang. This the type of music that my people go and sign. It's the nitty, the gritty, the smugness in the city.
Yeah, nothing's been the same since they killed Pac and Biggie.
A mic check, a mic check, one, two.
They always try to cut you off when you start to speak the truth.
So what's the truth? And what's a lie? Why the U.S. always running genocide? And what is war?
And what is peace? And what's our business always in the Middle East?
They take stakes and make tanks and make banks. The West Bank, they bang, bang, and gang, bang. They slave trade and slang things like AKs, grenades made to raise flames and make ways to end race. Why?
It's for the
money and the power.
It's the higher ups and they be hungry and devour. Rich eat the poor, but I hope it stays as sour. The house of cards will fall and soon the world will all be ours.
Ours. On the clock, go tick-tock. Your wristwatch has been stopped. The rich watch your kids' thoughts and get taught to keep them lips locked. And it stops when kids are taught through hip-hop.
It's hip-hop. Four elements combined. This that type of feeling that be running through your spine. It's the MCs that be holding on the mic. It's the DJs that be scratching all the time. It's the B-boys that be spinning on their minds. It's the graph heads that be writing on the signs. And it's hip-hop, and it's always been alive. And it's hip-hop, and it's never gonna die. Say bitty bitty bom bom, bitty bitty bang. This the type of music that my people gon' sing. Say bitty bitty bom bom, bitty bitty bang.
Dumb ill scratching coming up as well. Ah, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say ill, but yeah.
Some nice, the end bit's got some nice scratching on it. Yeah. What do you think of that? Reactions.
Like, if I can go first, I mean, they're not mad multisyllabic. It's pretty simplistic. I'd say more of like a Beastie Boys kind of flow. Very, like, you know, simple, like punchline kind of, you know, those... And it's, yeah, definitely very throwback, you know what I mean? You know, simple beat, but hard drums, nice low end on it. Obviously, I agree with their sentiment, for sure. You know, Free Palestine and all that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not blown away by it. I think it's a cool tune. It's all right. You know, a bit of back and forth with them too. I saw the video as well. They went in on their video.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hadn't heard of these guys. Yeah, I hadn't heard of these guys until Talal suggested it today. Theme, I think you're on mute, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've been screaming in pain, man. I got this new fucking gym instructor, Giza. He's killing me, bruv.
Oh, shit.
I thought you're the MCs were quite nice. I thought I liked the way they're ending some of their words. You know, they're just changing, like, their voice, spitting some of those things, man. I thought they were quite nice and individual.
It's kind of like a mix between Beastie Boys and Cypress Hill and, you know, that kind of flex, you know, West Coast.
Good observation.
It's a bit more
lyrical
than like Beastie Boys and...
Maybe a bit more.
Maybe multisyllabic. I meant like they would rhyme the same two syllables over and over again. And it all made sense. They were like telling a story throughout. And I thought, yeah, it was great, man. And they got good attitude.
They were saying
like,
death to America.
They were unconventional looking as well, which I appreciate, you know.
And also very clean, like no swear words, no nothing like that, you know what I mean? Obviously, they're, you know, one of
I don't know if that speaks for their whole oeuvre, but yeah, that song in particular, yeah.
Death to America!
All right, cheers. Yeah, that was a good one. Hey, I wanted to show you guys something. Let me send you this quickly. I got some headshots taken the other day.
Send these over.
I went and got some headshots, yeah? And I'm going to show you.
What are you going to do? Put them on the WhatsApp?
Oh, there we go. So, yeah, I went to do this amazing photo shoot and got some new acting headshots done. And, like, you know, it's things like this, you know.
That make it worthwhile.
No, Talal, what the fuck is that? What are you covering your nipples with, man? You're such an Egypt.
What do you think? What do you think? You like it?
Yeah, it's got very quite a lot cool of inks. Plot. Is that the name of the photography studio? Acta.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Have you got a camel tattoo?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Of course he does.
Yeah, I got some comedy days ones. But, you know, I've also got some nice...
You look very handsome, Talal, I must say. You look very pretty.
Well, the camera does all the work.
You should have waxed your eyebrows a little bit more, but fuck's it's all good. Sake.
That's what Photoshop's for, isn't it? Yeah, this is the kind of... I'm going to show you this one. This one is so serious. Obviously, I'm not showing you like
and
that.
You're wearing a camel chain.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the same one I got, isn't it?
There's a lot
it's
of
the Todd Bush.
You know, this Todd is Bush, the actual man. Kind of... You know, look at this sexy fuckhead over here. Yeah, feel free to put these on the video.
Ooh, look at that broom.
Should we just have these as the thumbnail to the episode?
Yeah. Feel free. Yeah.
And just call it Camel Tattoos.
All right, big up that company. They're great. They really looked after me. I'm going to get some nice shots. There's many more serious.
You look great, Talal. You look great.
You're very serious in the last one. You look like a narcos cartel.
I want people to hire me in their films and TV shows and shit.
What is the kind of thing with it? Because headshots, I mean, for people who might not know, if you're an actor or you want to get roles or auditions, then you got to send in your headshots. And obviously the headshots, they have to be quite a wide range. So you've got comedy ones there because obviously, Talal, you come from a comedy background.
That's for more stand-up stuff. Yeah, that's for like comedy shows and stuff.
But you can do more serious roles like you've done. You've done a lot of voiceover work and stuff. But when it comes to headshots, Talal, what are the like main principles? If you can break that down quickly.
You will hire a photographer who specializes in headshots to do them, and they know. But from the conversation I had with this latest one, you know, the boundaries are it needs to be a tight shot, so like head and shoulders, nice and close, so they can see your face. And nothing, you don't want anything distracting that will draw your eye away from how you look. You know, I was wearing this watch, and I decided to take it off because it was like it draws the eye. You want to connect with the viewer of the picture.
I want them to just be looking at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you want to convey, he asked me at the beginning, he's like, what do you want to say with your pictures? Mm. And that caught me off guard. And then I was like,
I want to get my fucking nipples out, bro.
Yeah. I want to be, we left the comedy ones till the end of the shoot. The headshots were the important ones. And I was like, I just want to look laid back and approachable and friendly.
That's not you. He hasn't caught that, I'm afraid. Extremely aggressive.
I just sent you the exceptions. I'm sure you took loads. I sent you the fun ones. Yeah. We took hundreds of fucking pictures.
Yeah.
But you know, I want to look friendly and you're supposed to like everything needs to tell a story, doesn't it? Even a photograph. So it's like.
But also, like you said, you want to present a sort of blank canvas because then the director or the writers or the casting director or whatever,
this part.
Exactly, they can, you know.
This particular part.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Yeah. Let's
well
get
done
in.
For your headshots.
Nice one, Talal. Congrats. If we can get into a little bit of graph critique right now. I'm sending this now onto the WhatsApp group. Fuck, come on, give me a fucking. There
right,
we go.
I was just sending. That's just like a normal one there.
All right, I've just sent it.
All right, let's have a look.
Talal, describe what you're seeing.
Okay.
Read it out. Yes.
Graph critique. All right, this one says metal. It looks like an O where metal, where the A should be. It's drawn on a wall in some sort of tunnel. It's like a silver and red dub, I would call it. It's not doesn't quite cross the piece line. With a dark red outline and then an orange one time outside of that. Oh, did I say that correctly?
Yeah, one time.
Yes, bruv.
And I would say the E is probably the strongest letter there. All the letters have a bit of kind of wonky unevenness to them, especially the M doesn't seem to fit in with the rest of the letters there because the left side of the M is curvy when everything else is straight edge. It says metal. It's not the worst thing I've seen, but it's like, it's almost bridging the gap between toy and not toy, But it's not quite bridging that gap. But that's my analysis. Tell me, am I wrong or right?
I don't think it's toy. I think the guy, you know, he knows what he's doing. The highlights are all in the right place. It's all even. The M is just wonky as fuck. I've done that before where one side of the M is like a McDonald's M where it's rounded, and then the other side of the M, I'll see if I can find a flick of it. I'll put that.
Do you think he started with one idea and then changed his mind halfway through the M?
Well, is that what he's done on the O as well?
Well, the O, obviously,
the left side of the O is curvy. No, the right hand.
I think the O, his choice with the O, I think, is just to get it to match up with the E, T, and the L. You see how they shape at the bottom? And then he had the O shape like that.
Yeah.
And with the round bit in the middle, it does what it needs to do, I think. But it's just the M, just that right side of the M, just he fucked that bit up, man. But, you know, he can keep at it. And I like the metal tag above the M. On the light bit in the tunnel, you know, simple, but it's got some flair to it. It's got some style. Ah, actually, even his M is straight.
Yeah, I was about to say
one side and round on the other. Yeah, it's like people do that. You know, it's not a strange thing to do. People do it, but he just didn't pull it off with that. Exactly. Theme. Your thoughts on that metal dub?
Yeah, it's a nice dub, isn't it? That's what I said, that the O was similar to the M. You know, curvy and then straight on the other side, but you will bore me off and didn't hear it.
Yeah,
and then I heard you and I disagreed with you, but that's fine.
And then disagreed with me. I think the highlights are all right.
The left side is straight.
The highlights kind of look all right. Yeah. I wouldn't do an orange border with a red outline ever.
Yeah, they're a bit close. Yeah, it's true.
The highlights are on the right, except for on the O. On the hole in the middle of the O, the highlights on the left. No, but it's on the right side.
No, inside of the M, inside of the T. It's always on the left.
No, it's all right.
He's in a little VR.
And it looks like he's an NR crew. Oh, you say VR.
Yeah, because on the next photo I just sent you guys, he sent another one. A black fill with a white outline, green, yellow background. And he wrote very rare in the bottom, so I'm assuming VR stands for very rare. He's got these bubbles coming out of the O and the E, very much more simplistic, but there's a connection between the M and the T curls around behind itself, a bit more bubbly, a bit more roundish.
This one's sick. I really like that one. It's got like a cartoon feel to it. It looks like the piece, the dub has been dropped in a vat of acid and it's all bubbling through the holes in the letters, and the bubbles look really cool in 3D.
Very good.
The E and the O are like chubby little chuchy pillows, and the letters have got more of a consistent style. I think it's still a blend of straight and curvy, but it's a more consistent blend, even though that's kind of an oxymoron that I've just said, but I think that's a much more consistent style and it looks cartoony and fun. I like
the letters all suit each other a bit more. The O, maybe if I'm really going to nitpick, it's a bit bottom heavy compared to the rest of the letters, you know,
but, and the L kind of drops off there, and the L kind of maybe stands out, whereas it doesn't fit in as much as the rest of the letters.
And the E, man, he could have done the E without it getting too skinny at the bottom in the middle.
I like the E.
Doesn't quite follow itself round, but the circle in the middle is kind of just wrong. At the bottom, it should be in line with the...
If he'd done that same kind of circle like he's done in the E in the O, because the O circle in the middle is just perfectly round, whereas the E one is an elongated, ellipsed kind of circle.
I like the elongated, but it has to join with the bit at the bottom. I mean, not join, but it has to be the same.
Same, yeah.
Because otherwise it just gets too skinny. Same as it curls back on itself.
Width as the top bit. Like, you know, like at least, because that's the skinniest bit of the whole thing, is that underneath that round bit in the top bit of the E. Yeah? You see the gap there is really, really thin compared to anything else on there, you know? So, if you'd even that out and matched it up with the O.
But it looks like the E has been like kind of squished and wedged in there, you know? And it's like squished.
A little bit. He sent one third one as well. So here you go. I just sent another one.
I'm a fan of that one.
One metal.
So this one, he's standing on top of one of them three spike fences. He's holding on like that. Yeah. And he's like, you know, this is like, you know, he's obviously done it up high. Like a baby blue outline, black fill, black one time.
That's the best
obviously
one.
done rough and rugged. It looks ill. He's done the curvy bit of the M and the straight side bit on the right as well, again, like he did on the first one, but this one looks a bit more
easy. See, the middle bit is more, it's on the first one, the middle bit didn't, wasn't in proportion, wasn't in the same linear way as the outside of the M, but now it is, I can't believe I just said that, the same linear way. This is getting too deep.
But that's all good, man.
That, he's shown three.
I like the O.
Yeah, and the little slice taken out of the O. He's shown three completely different styles there as well, which is cool.
They're not completely. There's still consistencies in the style in all three, but yeah, definitely with the first and the third one. Yeah, this one looks the best. This photo with the fence.
Man like metal, metal. Man like metal, metal.
Yeah, man.
Where big is up metal. Do we know where he is?
I have no idea.
He's in jail now for sending that into the almshouse. 15 years. Yeah. They'll do 7.5, get out. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's all right, metal.
Good behaviour, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good all bees, right. Good bees.
We got a couple of questions. Guys, please send in your voice note questions for us. We've run out, so we don't have any. If you really don't want to leave a voice note, you can always write it out. And again, I don't want to sound like a dick, but please don't send in the same question. Oh, who's your favorite writer? Who's your favorite writer? Please. Enough with the favorite writers. Okay. Send, be creative with your questions. Think of something funny. Think of something
cool. Is that cool, infographic critique? Interesting.
What? Three bits? We never do three bits.
That was a metal special.
Well, metal special. Metal special.
Oops. But we got a couple of written in questions. Yeah. Here we go. Have either of you ever gone to jail for graff? No.
You narrowly missed it, Maddie, didn't you?
Another question. How many McDonald's 99p cheeseburgers could you eat in a row under competitive circumstances? First off, bun McDonald's.
That is a question. That's a
joke question, yeah.
Fuck McDonald's, boycott that shit. Ask me about Burger King, maybe I'll answer you. But let's go chicken shop, chicken
let's
fillet
go to boss,
sandwich.
Man. Yeah.
I'll ask you that.
So little 99p burgers, how many do you reckon you could stuff down your gullet before you're like...
My cousins...
Before you tap out.
Outside Newcastle. Fucking big lads, like units of lads. And there's four of them and they're all fucking massive. And they've done this. But back in the day. But our Neil could have... It was like 16. And whoa, Mark, shit, who's like 2 years younger than him, like beat it like years and years and years later. 16, and I think he got to like 19. Mark did, and it was cheeseburgers with chips inside.
Were they ill?
It became my no man went out absolutely fine. But that became my go-to McD's: two cheeseburgers and a small fries. Put them in the cheeseburgers, just yammed them.
Yeah, man. I got to dip it in the sweet and sour as well. I mean, man, if I eat too much McDonald's, man, in general, it makes me feel ill, man. If I fill my belly on McDonald's, like as a meal, like, you know, usually McDonald's is when I'm working, I'm traveling, there's nowhere else. I got to fucking just, you know, fill a hole for a little bit. Then I might, you know, that's the only times really when I'll eat it. And even then,
it is the worst quality shit food. And I don't understand why anyone eats that fucking
It tastes good. It tastes all right.
But if you if you break off a piece of that burger and eat it like that on its own, you'll see that it's just the most disgusting little cardboard piece of shit.
Unseasoned, taste meat.
Fucking grim.
In France, it's much better. In grim. Italy, it's better.
It is. Instant. Anything is better outside of this fucking place. But no, that McDonald's fucking sucks balls. I don't understand why it's popular at all, man.
But Talal, I reckon
you know what? I love the Stormzy meal. I go and order that Stormzy meal.
Yeah, right. Mwah.
Fucking A, man. Fucking A. Nine chicken nuggets.
When was the last time you had a McD's?
Probably about 4 years ago.
We did have one in France when we were
out in
France.
We had one in cans.
In the can one. That's a really plush McD's as well, the one there.
It was like a fucking, five-star restaurant McD's.
Yeah.
Just Pierre tables outside and table service and shit.
I did my Karen biz again, because my chips turned up and they were cold and tasted like shit. And I just went back to it. I was like, come on, man. You can do better than that. And then they were like, oh, pardon, monsieur. You know what I mean? And they got my shit. And then I said, I want sweet and sour sauce. And they were like, huh? I was like, sweet and sour sauce, huh? You know,
it's called something else. They still have it. It's just called something else.
Yeah, I know. I found out it was fucking Chinese. Chinese sauce is what
I was thinking. Yeah.
Which is what it is.
To France, Maddie. Like 85 million times for weeks and weeks. And you go up to people and go, excusez-moi, vous parlez anglais un peu? That's the go-to every single time. Doesn't say anything else in La France. Excusez-moi, vous parlez anglais? And you do this thing with your fingers. It's like, vous parlez anglais un peu?
Because I know they always
un petit peu.
They always say un peu. Is it really that funny? I think it's just general politeness to ask that, you know what I mean? Before it stops.
No, it's good, but you haven't learned any other French. You've just used that. Like this, I'll just ask them if they speak English and then we'll have a fucking convo. Like it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean I can't conversate in French, no. I never said I could. I can ask for a beer, I can ask for a table.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you ask me now, I'd not be able to hold a conversation. But it's like day two in Cannes, suddenly I'm like, and like just fucking making friends left, right, center, and thinking I speak great French.
Fluent frangling.
Making a fool of myself.
Yeah, no, I can't speak any French, man. I remember once some French guy wanted to kill me, man, because I was making jokes. This was like back in the day. It was in London. I think a carnival after party. We're all drunk and we're in the street. And I saw some friend. He was like, "Are you French?" He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Ta mère sous tes trompes," like that, yeah, which is a bit from La Haine, yeah. Your mum sucks off Smurfs. And the guy was like, "What do you say?" And he was like trying to fight me and shit. And I was like, "Bro, it's from the movie La Haine, man. You've seen the film." And he's like, "No," because he was so drunk. He was like, "You ever come to Paris? You're half dead in Paris." I was like, "Is it? All right, cool, man. Chill the fuck out."
And then when I went to Paris once on my own, similar age, me and my cousin Rashid, we got pulled over by the cops on my way from the train station. He was taking me from the train station.
Yeah, you told us this.
They pulled me over and they fucking searched in our butt cracks. They're in the streets. They put on a glove, pulled our trousers, and stuck his hand down my butt crack, convinced we were hash dealers, you know? And we had nothing. We had nothing on us.
You speak Arabic? Yes, yes.
Just
hashish.
Completely molested. Yeah. Molested by racist cops in Paris in the streets. Fuck.
That's just messed up.
Nique la police.
Themos, we're going out to a tune you selected. Is there a reason behind this tune? Or is
yeah, because I heard, I love the little flow that both of them, not the little flow, I love the flow that both of them do on it. I love the flow that both of them do, like repeating words and shit. And I really like the bit Pav's verse on the second verse when he's going, he is the second verse, when he's going, forget about it. I fucking love it. Yeah. I love the tune, man. It's, the way they ride it is sick. They're both sick.
Is this Foreign Beggars or something?
No, it's Mind State, Vitamin G, and Pavan, a track called Flair that's just come out on Pavan's
Flair,
label.
That's it.
Pavan's label called Foreign Currency. Ill labels, got drum and bass, dubstep, hip hop, all sorts of genres. Incredible. I mean, we've had Pavan on the pod. Everyone go check out the Pavan episode. It was a while ago now, over a year probably. We should get him back. So salute Pav and all the Foreign Beggars, RIP Metropolis and all that. This is Flair. Peace, gentlemen. Thank you, Talal, for joining us, man.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back, boys. We're going to record some Arms House with Talal's House very soon.
For the Patreon.
Oi, I'd love to help you guys make this commentary track for La Haine. I think that sounds like a great idea. And I had an idea, Amber.
Yeah.
Maybe you could upload the Arms House theme song to Patreon or the stems of it even. And people could rap their own verses over it or send in remixes of it or something. I thought that could be a fun idea.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But we are going to get active on the Patreon. We're going to post up more stuff there exclusive for you guys.
You got extra footage from Cannes to put on there as well, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know. I'll think of something.
I'll upload the picture of my naked headshot up on the Patreon for you guys.
Yes. Also, I didn't want to forget this before we get into the track. We have decided when we're going to do the next Arms House Graph Jam. Okay. It's going to be on Sunday, the 13th of July. Okay. Ooh-wee. Sunday, 13th of July, the Arms House Graph Jam more than likely will be at the same spot as it was last year. So people make plans to come down. We're going to try and get some special guests to come and paint with us and hopefully jump on the pod. We'll be recording an episode of the podcast there. And also, whoever paints, we'll be doing the big graph critique of the whole wall. So, like, similar to like we did last year.
Yeah.
So it'll be lots of fun. It'll be jokes.
Yeah. That was so funny.
13th of July, people.
Can I do a quick plug?
Get in your diary, motherfuckers.
Can I plug my shit quickly?
Of course.
Plug your shit. Oh, we need to plug our sponsor. Arms House 10 gets you 10% off Infamy products.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that ink that doesn't come out.
Website link in the description, I'm sure. Yeah. And listen to my other podcast, the Alexis L podcast, where I talk to an old man who happens to be a legend of comedy and get stories out of him, tell a few of my own. The Alexis L podcast, patreon.com/AlexisL podcast. And if you're going to Glastonbury this year, come to the cabaret tent. I'm doing a set on Friday, I think around 2 o'clock.
Shut up. Are you playing at Glastonbury?
Yeah, I'm playing Glastonbury.
You're getting that fucking quiet, mate.
And I'm emceeing for 4 hours on the Saturday. I'm hosting 4 hours of
you get us Arms House tickets. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Hey, get us some freebie
Arms House fucking ticket. We can't be expected to buy tickets for Glastonbury. They'll be sold out within 5 seconds of going live.
It already is.
We need two.
Sorry.
Already gone.
I might be able
to get us the Arms House entrance.
I might be able to get us a squeeze theme. So let's see if we can do
that would be
Glastonbury
jokes.
Episode would be jokes, man.
That would be sick.
All right.
But so you, Maddie, by the time
the next Glastonbury, if you guys are popular enough, we'll do a live podcast on the stage at the cabaret tent Glastonbury. Right. Come on.
All right, party people, right. Arms House episode 133. Big up theme, big up my brother.
Big up all the listeners. And
like
the
we said, leave a comment below. Send us in your graph or critique. Send in any voice note questions. Join the Patreon. All the links
are
below. We don't have any voice note
questions left.
Yeah.
Send them in, man.
Mind State and Vitamin G and Pavan Flair.
Peace.
We don't care about the rare tear.
Arms House, dear mum's house.
Let them dead.
Mum's house, dear mum's house.
Oh, here go.
The graffiti podcast called Arms House.
I don't care for the red tear tear. Step on the sex fresh flare flare there. I don't care for the red tear tear. Best S from the set you can air. I don't care for the red tear tear. Step on the sex fresh flare flare there. I don't care for the red tear tear. Best S from the set you can air. Nah, you ain't got this, stop it. Grab that mic, it's amplified mockings. That's my vibe, don't analyze topic. Your gang not fly, them not a light ostrich. Low key though, don't grab my right shotting. High key though, it's mad, all life costing. That's why we tangled in toxins. Wrapped in the wrong things, I'm not about all the gossip. Madness locked in. Ravenous like I'm a hostage. Cosmic got lifted off rockets. Lost in the mist that I caught in the pocket. No grind, no glory. Mind flow naughty. 9-5 boom, been fried like Morty's. High profile, don't like no Tory. Life of the poor, then why vote for these? Full skanking, no little two-step. Bank on that, spinning like brunette. Hit the rhythm with suplex. Your crew's on the deck, no excuse. Exude tech, the roof of the deck. Set rapid as a mic warrior. Wally with a test of the mic bodyguard. While I wanna act like he nice, sorry, but your copy art and that biting's not enough. I don't care for the red tear tear.
Yo, if you leave a comment below, I'll send a winner next week. We'll pick a winner and they get History in a Shoebox, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Shout out Acme, yeah?
P don't care for none of that racket. Boy, never get boyed off for the daily. Big B fits in a different bracket. Mind state coming with that F you pay me. Any you base on a couple round to get this amount of your situation. Forget about it. You're 2-bit complex. Get a 2-2 suplex. Get dashed off the duplex. Forget about it. I bang out the game, no play. Coconut, I okay, white and what Durex. Everything split wide open, it's that now. I know you know it's too late to back out. Overexposure. Got a man putting in the L's when you're asleep. Should have been tapped out. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. I ain't tryna hear that. Rare tear tear in your ear. That's the Air Max. Air gang. Air Max. Air Jordan to the head back.
You fucking, you bloody.